Be part of the conversation. Send us a WhatsApp message on +27 73 470 3520 or call us at +27 12 001 7679. Let your voice be heard. Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media. From broadcast to baptism.
Certainly, certainly, as we study together, let your voice also be heard in this conversation. You matter, and your words, your thoughts, your comments, your questions are very much valuable as we study together. It's a Daily Focus feature, and we are continuing with our theme, Grace. That's what we are looking at this week. Oh, what wonderful topic. A concept that, like we said yesterday, permeates all through Scripture. It's not just a new concept or theme. And I always find it fascinating that even in the Old Testament, you find these grace moments, as it were, filtered through the Word of God. But yet it's only in John chapter 1 and 17, Christ then says, grace and truth. I mean, it's John, right? Grace and truth came through Christ Jesus. Almost like, okay, so maybe it's a new concept, a New Testament concept. No. Even in the Old, you will find. Today, we're looking at the biblical basis of grace. You know, as you explore biblical passages that speak about grace, we're talking one of the most fundamental of all, Ephesians chapter 2 verses 8, starting off by talking about how it is by grace that you have been saved through faith, this not of yourselves, going down to verse 9, right? But it is the gift of God, not by works, so that nobody should boast. But I love how verse 10 then comes in and also says, so that you'll be able to go through and do good works which you have been set out to do, even right out from the beginning. Predestined is the word they use, predestined to do even from the beginning. So that's what we're going to be talking about today, looking at the biblical basis of this concept of grace, reflecting deeply so on verses can deepen understanding of grace, and especially as you look at the context which this concept is used in these verses. So we're going to be going through that, and our pastor, Mfundiswami Pastor Trust Mwanaiba, joins us now on the line. Muruti, good morning and welcome once again.
Good morning, Brother Derek. How are you today?
No, doing very well. The Lord has been good, is good, is continually being good to us. So I'm so excited for another opportunity to go deeper into His Word. How do we find you, Pastor?
Amen. This side, we are doing well.
Mm-hmm.
God has been faithful. God is blessing.
Hallelujah.
Just grateful for this opportunity once again to be here.
Amen. Thank you so much, Mfundisi. Let's unpack our discussion for today. Looking at the concept of grace as it's used in the Scripture, how does it differ from notions of merit and earned favor? You know, where like we do something and God is now almost repaying, almost rewarding. Talk to us about grace as it's seen in the Bible.
I like the concept that you brought on paying, earning. Those are very key words.
Okay.
In the of grace.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe to pick it up, I know you've already read the verse. That's maybe where we are going to focus our reflections. But
okay,
I want us to probably also come back to a verse that helps us understand this concept. And that is the book of Romans. The book of Romans. And we can pick it up. Let me just open my Bible here. We can pick it up from verse 6, Romans chapter 6, and let's come to verse 23. Romans chapter 6, verse 23. Here's
okay.
what the Bible says. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, the writer Paul begins by talking about wages. Okay. When he talks about sin, he talks about wages. In other words, wages are things that, something that you receive, that you've worked for, that you have earned. And it's interesting, it's an interesting thought, it's an interesting concept, because what we find from this passage essentially is the fact that when it comes to eternal life and salvation and to be saved, we are given that freely. If we are going to be destroyed, it is because we have worked for our own destruction. And that's quite an interesting thought. Yeah, we have worked for our destruction. The wages of sin, what you have earned, is death. But when it comes to eternal life, you know, it's a free gift that God gives through his grace.
Mm. Mm.
It's a free gift. You can't work for it. There's nothing you can do.
You and there are some it, yeah.
people that to think that there's a contribution that they should make to the gift that God has given. But there's absolutely nothing that we can do. And if you allow me, there's a quotation that I like from a famous preacher by the name of Charles Spurgeon. He says, and I quote, "Grace is the first and last moving cause of salvation. And faith, essential as it is only an important part of the machinery which grace is employed. We are saved through faith, but salvation is by grace." So in other words, what Charles Spurgeon is trying to put forward here is the fact that, yes, people always like to think there's probably a certain percentage that we can add to the finished work of Christ. But the concept here is that ultimately, faith is only the vehicle that allows us to receive from God.
Okay.
Faith
okay.
is not what gives us. Faith is what allows us to receive the salvation that has been given freely. Okay? And the concept that probably comes to mind is, you know, I am here in Zambia, Brother Derek, and I want to send you a gift to South Africa.
Okay.
One that I have not paid for, one that you have not earned. But I need to find a means to get this gift to you. I need to find a way. We need to find a way that you can gain access to the gift that I'm sending free. And this is where faith comes in. Faith is the vehicle, you know, our vehicle that allows us to receive from God the gift of salvation, which is given.
I remember someone saying prayer is the key in the hand of faith. And as you're making about faith being the vehicle, I'm remembering that the faith is like a hand which then you extend to receive this gift, this vehicle, this arm that you extend to receive this gift. I like that. I like that.
Oh. Like that too.
Futhisi, talk to us some more passages. Today we want to hear more passages, some more biblical passages that illustrate God's grace as a gift freely given to humanity. Talk to us some more, Mfundisi.
All right. Thank you so much, my brother. There are a number of passages, but I think one that is common, that one that most of us can relate to, is one that I like. We find in Luke chapter 15. And this one, I'll summarize it. In Luke chapter 15, of course, we have what we know as the parable of lost things.
Okay.
The parables of lost things. I'm interested especially in the lost son, the one we have come to know as the prodigal son. And maybe let me capture just two verses, if you allow me to read chapter 15. And let me read verse 21, and I'll also read verse 22. When the son who had wasted all his living decides to come back to the father, the Bible says in verse 21, "And the son said unto the father, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and I am no more worthy to be called thy son." Verse 22, "But the father said to his servants," I like this, "bring forth the best robe and put it on him. And put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And then bring hither the fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry." You know, I like, Brother Derek, the way we find the father just completely ignoring what the son says. When the son comes to say, "I am not worthy.
Yeah.
I'm not worthy to be called your son."
Mm-hmm.
He calls the servants and says, "Hurry, bring the best robe. Bring shoes and put a ring," which is very very significant in the Jewish culture.
Yeah.
Because what's happening is he's putting a ring on his finger. It's a symbol of reinstatement. He's being given back his position of royalty. He's being given back his position of royalty, status symbol. He comes really with the hope that he can be received just as a servant. But God says, I mean, the father says to him, "In my eyes, I can never look at you as unworthy." And This is a passage that helps us, I believe, to really understand the concept of grace, because Jesus, in his conclusion, says that is how it is when any sinner comes to God. There's great rejoicing in heaven. Yeah. There's such excitement. The Father is so happy. But all that this young man did in the parable is just to go back. He didn't have to go and say, Father, maybe like Jacob, let me work for 7 years in order to earn my status back. No. The moment he decided to come back to the Father was waiting for him, and immediately he was reinstated. So God is not going to, when we decide to come back to him, he's not going to put us on some kind of probation. Let me observe you maybe for 10 years and see if you've really repented. The moment we come back, the moment we come back to him, he's happy to receive us, happy to reinstate us. And so I think this is one of the beautiful passages that we can consider.
Amen. Amen. I like that.
I don't know. Do we have time for another?
Yeah, maybe one more. Maybe one more.
Okay. Now, let me probably just paraphrase it. I know time is always not on our side. But in the book of John, we have a beautiful narrative. We have a beautiful narrative in chapter number 8 of the book of John. We have a beautiful narrative where Jesus basically deals and encounters a woman called Mary Magdalene. Mary Magdalene. And it's interesting because they come to Jesus and say to him, the law of Moses basically states that if someone is caught in adultery, they should be stoned to death. Now, what do you say about that? What is your position? And we don't have time to get into the story, but Jesus basically tells the people that the one without sin, let them be the first to cast the stone. And at the end of everything, he saves the life of Mary and asks her a question. Does anyone still condemn you? And is any of the ones who condemned you still there? She says, no, no one condemns me. And Jesus says some of the most profound, most beautiful words you ever find in Scripture. Neither do I condemn you. Neither do I condemn you. But go and sin no more. Go and sin no more. And so as we, I believe as we build up this thought, the theme of grace, we'll have some time to look at even the now go and sin no more.
Yeah.
But I think for today, we can bask in that beautiful concept where Jesus is saying, I don't condemn you, because there's no more condemnation for those who are in Christ.
Amen. Amen. Oh, I love that. There is no more condemnation. Muruti, then, as we say goodbye this morning, I want you to tie up the two themes. Earlier on in my introduction, I gave a hint to John chapter 1 and 17, where John introduces Christ as, you know, the Old Testament, we've got Moses, and then he brings the law. But in the New Testament, we've got Jesus, and he brings grace and truth. Is there a link, for instance, maybe just as we close, do that for us, please, to link how New Testament concept of grace is almost a fulfillment and extension of this Old Testament theme of grace as well. And as you do so, maybe help us to see how God uses grace in action, where we can see it in activity as well.
Okay. Probably the last part, could you ask that again?
To say, do we see in these narratives of grace coming through from the Old Testament, grace coming through into the New Testament, we want to see these as biblical passages of grace in God's grace in action, if you will, you know, with parables that illustrate that here is God actually not just talking about grace, but using it, and we can see it doing its work in the midst of us.
We are together now. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, maybe just for the first part, the connection you talked about between what we find in the Old Testament, and you made mention of Moses, the law, and, you know, grace in Christ. I think Matthew chapter 5 verse 17 helps us to blend the two very well.
Okay.
Because Jesus in Matthew chapter 5, and this is the Sermon on the Mount, in verse 17 he says, do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. That is very pivotal for our understanding of the verse that you read, that you made reference to.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because Jesus bringing the grace to us, as we will discover, as we go throughout the week, as we progress, does not come to do away with the law. But he comes, by giving us grace, he comes to give us empowerment to be able to live a life that is in accordance with the will of God.
Amen.
Yes. So grace doesn't actually nullify the law, but grace actually gives the power. So Moses gave something that was not able to give us the power to do the will of God. He brought the law and showed us the instructions and how we ought to live and how we ought to live together and how we are supposed to love God with all our hearts and our soul. But Jesus now comes not only to act that, to live that out, but he also comes to give us the power. As the Bible says in the same chapter you referenced, in chapter 1, John chapter 1, that, you know, he came to his own, but his own did not receive him. But as many, in verse 12, as many as received him, he gave them the power to become God. He gave them the power. So that's what grace does for us. It empowers us to be able to live as sons of God in a sinful age.
Amen.
And
Amen.
Then the last part where you talked about
grace in action. Yeah.
Grace in action. Wow. There are a number of biblical passages that I can think about. If I was to go to the Old Testament, I think one which really captivates my mind all the time is the story of Abraham and Isaac.
Okay.
Isaac going to sacrifice his son. Abraham going to sacrifice Isaac as an offering. And then God tells him, look behind, see in the thickets, there's a ram that's caught up, okay? And then that lamb is used as a substitute. And as we go throughout the week, there's a concept that we must talk about when we talk about grace, and it's the concept that we call substitutionary atonement.
Okay.
Where somebody, you know, or something acts as a substitute for the other. In order that the righteous demands of God are fulfilled and met. So one of those beautiful passages is the story of Abraham.
Yes.
You know, about to lose his son, but God steps in. And this is the first time we find the name Jehovah Jireh, God who provides.
Yeah. Yeah. Ah, I think that just silences the whole conversation, does it not? He is indeed a God who is not just a God of his word. It's almost like he begins to talk because he's the one who does. We always are emphasizing the concept of walking the talk, right? Let's do what we always talk about, guys. But God is a God who already starts by doing. And then when he starts speaking, it's because he has already been doing. Thank you so much, Mfundisi. Pastor, until we meet again tomorrow, may God bless you. Have yourself a blessed Tuesday.
Thank you, my brother. Blessings to you as well. God bless you.
Amen.
Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.